So we've got a packed house today because we've got some of our younger campers here with us. If you are kindergarten through fifth grade, why don't you stand up and show that you're here? And if you have to stand on a chair, stand on a chair so we can see you. Yeah. Woohoo! We love our Harvest Kids ministry, and all you guys are learning the Bible together. That means I'm going to have to be really interesting today to keep your attention, but I know you can do it. I know that you guys are learning some good things back there. So let me read our passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 6. And here's what it says. And Paul's talking to Timothy, if you put these things before the brothers, or the church, the sisters, everybody, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the life, present life, and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, or the Greek word there is agonize. We strive because we have our hopes set on the living God who's the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Oh yeah, are you ready to hit God's gym? That's what I'm going to call it, God's gym, not Gold's gym, God's gym. Training for godliness. A spiritual workout. It's a great analogy of the Christian life. You know, Paul often uses like these physical, an athlete or sports analogies or a battle analogies. In fact, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, he's talking about competing in a race or like a boxer in a ring. In 1 Timothy 1, 18, so in chapter 1, it says that we are to fight the good fight or the good warfare. So it's like a battle. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says that we are running the race with endurance. So, you know, one of my heroes in athletics is a man by the name of Greg LeMond. So I've spoken of him before, but who was an elite cyclist in the 1980s when I was in high school and college. What made this guy so amazing is that he was the first American to go over in Europe and dominate the sport. And in 1986, he won the Tour de France, first American to win that race. And for those of you who don't know that race, it's like a race that has 21 single races in about 23 days. So you only get 2 days of rest, and each day is a new race, and the total, whoever brings in the lowest total of minutes, seconds, wins the whole thing. So it's pretty grueling. It goes up the French Alps, sometimes to 18% grade. If you can imagine, you know, driving, you see maybe a 6% grade. This is 18% grade on a bicycle. Pretty awesome. Well, in the next year, in 1987, he won the same race, the Tour de France. But between that year and 1989, he got into an accident with his brother-in-law, shot him while hunting. Everyone thought he was done. So with buckshot still in him, he's training to come back the next year in 1989. And certainly, he shouldn't be in the Tour de France. But then again, here he enters, and he's got one last race, and it's usually on the streets of Paris, the last stage of the race. He's only 50 seconds behind the leader. An amazing feat. But 50 seconds is a lot to make up, especially with a small time trial. That's a race against time alone. But he did it, making up 58 seconds, winning the race by the smallest margin in history, by 8 seconds. How does one do that? Disciplined, hard work. You know, behind the glory of winning the prize is countless hours of excruciating pain. You're pushing your body and your mind far beyond what seems possible. And anyone who has trained for a race knows what I'm talking about. That's athletics. But you think about even music. You know, I think about some of the musicians up here and just some of the guitar riffs that are going on. That takes hours and hours and hours of work. I remember when I was in, because it's not just natural talent. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of discipline. When I was growing up, I took piano lessons, and my teacher, when I was in high school, demanded that I would practice 2 hours a day. She did not get 2 hours a day out of me, to my shame. When I went to college for the first 2 years, I was a piano major, believe it or not, and they required 3 hours a day of practice. That practice room was my prison cell, and my neck and back screamed for relief. If one goes to graduate school for piano, that person is expected to practice 7 to 8 hours a day. Could you imagine? Now think about the virtuosos that you have enjoyed listening to, what you, maybe some of you have wished that you could become one yourself, but what seems effortless on stage is grueling in practice. Now listen to the words of Paul. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Are you? And maybe the examples I've given maybe are just way too grandiose and they miss the mark. Not everyone is called to study the Bible for 8 hours a day, and that's really not my point. Here's the point. What kind of discipline, effort, toil, striving do you put into the pursuit of godliness? Does that even describe your experience? Because Paul is saying, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, or train yourself. And the word there, that's why I call it God's gym, training for godliness, because the word for training in verse 7 or 8 comes from the Greek word gymnazo. And if you can hear it, it's where we get the word gymnasium. We're hitting the gym. We're hitting God's gym. We're training for godliness. And Paul is saying he has a training regiment for Timothy and therefore for us as well. But how does that work? Think about it. Because when we were going through the book of Galatians and even in 1 Timothy, it's very clear that salvation is not the reward for work done. And either is sanctification, big word for becoming more holy, becoming more Christ-like. It's not a reward for work done. So what does Paul mean then to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness? Because we need to get this right. Why? How can we work, toil, strive, and discipline ourselves and not be working ourselves into a salvation and not be working ourselves into this sanctification? Well, the straining we will do to be more godly in our behavior is not the basis of our salvation. Listen to this. It's the evidence of our salvation. Let me say it again. The straining we will do to be more godly in our behavior is not the basis of our salvation. It's the evidence of our salvation. This is an important concept for the Christian. God makes demands that we cannot keep. Just think of 1 Peter 1:15. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Anybody can do that? That's an impossible thing. And why would God ask for the impossible? To push us against a holy standard, which we can't do, so that we cry out for help. He is our Savior. That's why. And Paul is making demands that we cannot do ourselves. But when we make progress, it gives evidence that someone else is helping us. Before we hit the gym, let's talk about a healthy diet. That's my first point. Promote a healthy diet. If you're going to make progress in godliness, you need to promote, which means you need to take it on, and you need to speak it into other people's lives. Promote a healthy diet. Because you can hit the gym, and you can work those muscles, but if you don't do something about your food intake, you ain't going to get slimmed down in racing form. You can't be Mr. Donut and Mrs. Bonbon if you're going to make progress and desire to train and condition. The right foods can help you, and the wrong foods are going to hurt you. It's amazing what a diet of soda and chips will do to your body. I remember a guy telling me how he lost so much weight. And truly, when I saw him, I was like, dude, you lost a lot of weight. You know what he said? I stopped drinking Coke. He was consuming like 2 liters or more a day. Having a healthy diet, though, spiritually is far more important than physical diets. As in verse 6 tells us, you are to put these things before the brothers. You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and the good doctrine that you have followed. You're going to be a good servant. You know, like a physical trainer has to push the person. Yeah, you can do it. Push, push, push. More reps. You know, the trainer isn't always the nice friend all the time. But you're a good servant if you keep the good diet in front of them. You're pushing and promoting a healthy diet. He's putting these things before the brethren. Teach, promote these things. And really means the true gospel of grace through faith. You promote the true gospel, you're going to be a good servant. And that's what Timothy grew up on. You know, his mother and his grandmother, when he was young, because his dad wasn't a believer, it seems like, poured into him. So if you're a single mom, there's hope. Pour into your children. Pour into your children, because Timothy became this man of God because his mom and grandmother gave him a good spiritual diet. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and how from childhood, Timothy, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So he was reared. He was brought up on the words of the faith and the good doctrine, which is the body of truth that makes up Christianity. Anyone who trains for godliness has to understand Christian teaching. Some of you go, well, I know the gospel. Okay, but training is more than running once around the track. You might be able to tell me a simple gospel presentation, but the implications of the gospel take a lifetime to filter down all the way to the intentions, the thoughts, your words, your actions, so that they get transformed to be Christ-like. It takes a lifetime of that. Just like the Word of God does its work, you train for godliness as the Word of God comes in you. It's much like a lozenge that you put in your mouth. You know, we're in sick season and coughing, and sometimes we need relief, and we put that lozenge in our mouth. What do? We don't bite it and chew it and swallow it fast. We let it sit there. We suck on it for a long time, and all its nutrients go to our throat. That's how you do it. Or the Word of God is like a marinade, because the more it sits in the juices, what happens? The more it penetrates into the meat. And that's what the Word of God does. It's not once and you're done. It's not knowing the gospel and that's over and so you neglect the Word. No, it's that constant marinade getting into your life so it seeps all the way down. Studying the Word of God is hard work. Sometimes concepts are hard to ingest. Sometimes they're not very pleasant. And you push back. But here's the thing. Even this week, I was reading about a ministry, and the ministry consisted, and I cringe when I hear about this. It was talking about people who were burned out on the institutional church. How many times have I heard that? And gather for just worship, prayer, loving one another, eating meals, but no preaching. Brothers and sisters, that is not a healthy diet. That is not a balanced meal. These groups are vulnerable without clear teaching. Worship is pleasing to God when he is adored for all his particulars, not a fuzzy idea about God. It has to be particular, and we grow in our knowledge and the clarity of who God is with consistent teaching. It's like if a wife, as her husband is away for like 3 weeks, decides to put up a picture to remember and, you know, just remember her husband. If he came home and looked at the picture after 3 weeks and it looks like the neighbor, he would not be honored. Or if she drew a stick figure and stuck it up, not helpful. Or maybe she added a little bit more. It's an impressionistic picture. What would help is if it's a high-resolution digital photo. Because the more clear, the more the person gets honor, the more specific your worship, the more glorifying to God. And it's going to fuel your heart. It's not, I read the Bible now, I'm going to really get it. Hey, listen, times of worship, times of prayer are some of the sweetest moments I know. But you'll be more Christ-honoring and you'll have fuel for worship when you have particular visions of Christ through the scriptures. It says to avoid silly, irreverent myths. You know, they were off on some other thing more interesting than studying the scriptures. My friends, avoid junk food in the spiritual life. It can offer no help at promoting godliness. So, you know, one of the books I think would be really important for you to read, I'm going to give you a theology book. Here we go, okay? It's called Concise Theology. Say that with me. Concise Theology. And it's by J.I. Packer. It's a small theology. And you go, why would I want to read that? Because it's going to give you the breadth of the Christian truth. Because here's what Timothy, he knew the words of the faith. That's the body of Christianity, the body of truth. A good teaching. And J.I. Packer, there's others, but he does a good job in that book. Say it again, Concise Theology, because I want you to remember, you're going to look it up. Guess what? It's enough that each chapter is about 2 or 3 pages. Now, you could probably read that in 10, 15 minutes every time you pick it up. And you know what? You could make your way through that book. It's about that thick. It's not bad. Okay? I would encourage you to do that. That will give you kind of an overall picture of it. Also, Matt Joyner and JT have been pushing recently a catechism called the New City Catechism. Now, catechisms have kind of gone out of style. They're maybe making their way back, but it was a way for everyone to learn the Christian faith. You know, creeds were somewhat like that, but catechisms went even further to help people understand it. So New City Catechism, it's an app. You can get it on your computer, and it's very good at teaching your kids all the way up through high school, just ways that can summarize the Christian faith. And I would say, too, any class that we have here in our Equip You class, because we just had our first round of The Big Story, and we had 44 people in there, and it was packed. And it was pretty good. And Chris does a good job. There he is right there. Raise your hand, Chris. Yeah, thank you, Chris. And we'll have more classes and we'll have more teachers, too, in the future. But that's the way that you can get equipped. In training for godliness, you have to promote a healthy diet. That was all under first point. Second point, discipline yourself. Translated, no pain. No pain, no gain. Holy sweat is required for godliness. I was in the eighth grade when I went out for tackle football. Now, I was a wee little guy. I was like Zacchaeus. You know, I wasn't very big. So I wasn't good, but I loved it. And we went out, started training in August. And it was the hottest month of the year with full gear called Hell Week. It tells you something about the agony and the labor that went on to get in shape for competition. And if the coach thought you were dogging it, what do you think he did? He added more. And after you thought you were completely exhausted at the end of practice, the coach sometimes marched us up to this small little mountain behind the football field. and we'd march up halfway, and he would make us run lines uphill, full gear, helmet on. It's dusty, it's dirty, it's hot. Walk down, run up again. Walk down, run up again. It was difficult. Labor, agony. And I think it's, but here's Paul. Discipline or train yourself for the purpose of godliness. And he says in verse 10 that we are to strive. Word? Agony. Agonizo. It's the Greek word. You can hear agony in that, okay? That we're supposed to do that in the spiritual life, in our walk of faith. And I think for some people, that doesn't make any sense. It's hard to think the Christian life requires discipline. It sounds very unsupernatural. Like it should just happen. We'd rather experience a holy zap that makes it easier to follow Jesus than to do it this way. But this is how God made it. This is how God set things up. If we, if we still fight the urge for revenge, if we feel fear swallowing us up, if lust is pulling us like a magnetic force, we wonder if we've ever experienced salvation in the first place. Let me tell you something. When you come to faith in Christ, the old you has been critically wounded, but not yet dead. It's crucified with Christ, but it's not yet mortified. That's to be put to death, which is why, so your old ways can sputter to life and give fits unless you continually put it to death, which is why Romans 8:13 says, by faith we are to put it, by the Spirit, we're supposed to put it to death on a regular basis. That's all of us. There's a battle to fight. There's a race to win. So we have to discipline ourselves like a spiritual athlete. You ready to go to the gym? Ready to go to God's gym? Train for godliness? That's what it's going to require. But what does that mean? We make progress in godliness by faith. Trusting what the Word says about God and our situation. So, got my tools over here. It's just a 20. But it's something. So when you like, so fear. If fear is one of those sins that you struggle with, and you want to, and Paul is saying, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. You have to have spiritual intake. You know, you have good spiritual diet. But then in the moment of temptation, when you find out that your company will be laying off 20 people and you fear that you'd be one of them, when you're tempted to freak out, acting like you don't have a God that cares for you, here's what disciplining yourself, agonizing and straining is like. When you're tempted to freak out, acting like there is no God, it will feel like pain and agony to put your trust in Him in the midst of it all. But that's what it is to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It'll start to hurt. It will start to wear out. You'll start to fatigue. You're training. You're training for godliness right then and there. That's what's happening. So maybe it's anger for you. You know, maybe it's like when you get disrespected, when injustice happens to you, when the stress is coming upon you and you want to blow up instead of trust the Lord. It will be agonizing and painful to stop and to put your trust in Him. That's what it means. It's agony. You might get a lot of reps in during the day, right? Because you're going to be tempted throughout the day. And you're going to get a lot of opportunities to exercise that muscle of faith. When you want to blow up, when you get so angry and frustrated and the stress is upon you, guess what? God's given you more reps so you can get stronger. That's what it's all about, training for godliness. Or maybe it's lust when temptation is pulling you in. when the pull and the cravings get stronger, it will feel painful to pull away and trust God. That God has greater promises of satisfaction. That's what it means to train in godliness. But some of you, you're good with working out until it hurts. Right? You know what this is? It's not a jump rope. The more stress you put on this thing, right, the more it works that muscle. You probably see that awesome tricep. But okay. It causes stress to the muscle. You don't want to fight against your fears. So some of you let the winds of fear blow you for days, for weeks, for months. You just kind of flop on the ground and give up. And the muscle of faith is not being developed. It's like you're going like, oh, man. Because you don't want to put strain. It's painful. You make excuses, some of you with anger problems, you make excuses for losing your temper. It's just the way it is. It's my past. It's my upbringing. No, you're a spiritual slacker. That's what you are. You're not addressing it. All you want to do is just my upbringing. There's no tension on the line. You're not exercising for the purpose of godliness. Exercising is trusting God when it's difficult and it's painful and it's fatiguing and you might have 100 reps in one day. That's what training means. And you go, no, hey, bro, this is my routine, man. It's what I do. Well, you're not building anything, okay? You're not building any muscle because you just give up. Because conditioning and training is painful. That's what it means by exercising faith, and you have those physical, painful, striving kind of analogies. You put it in the spiritual sense. There is pain trusting God. It is difficult to let go of what you can do and trust the Lord. Is there an amen there? But it's a fight to trust. Greg LeMond, the cyclist, once said, it never gets easier to train. You just get stronger. Translated into spiritual life, you just get more godly. You get more Christ-like. Let's land this plane. One more. Keep your eyes on the prize. Number three. Look at verse 8. For while bodily discipline or bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value for in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance. It's like Paul said, hear me now. Let me underline this. For to this end we toil, we labor, and we strive, word for agony, because we have set our hope, here's how we can do it, set our hope on the living God who's the Savior of all people, especially believers. See, bodily discipline is of smaller value, but why do we do it? Why do we do it? To look better? To perform better? So we can win a prize? The benefit is always here and now. Which is the benefit to win praise from people. Like, man, you're looking good, man. The shape that you're in, man. Or to get first prize. You know, it's for here and now. But it's a fragile commodity. One day people will think you're special, and the next day you're old news. Just goes. Even Olympic athletes, you think about the ancient world, they trained for the Olympics, and even today it consumes lives of athletes. They probably trained for 20 years, but 10 years, they will really focus so they can win the gold medal. And 99% of them will never win the gold medal. And they will eat, sleep, drink that one sport for a decade or more. And even the ones who win or are awarded the coveted gold medal have only a brief moment of glory, and then the world moves on. But in the spiritual life, there is great reward even in the present. Is there no reward for people who follow the Spirit of God to control their fearful emotions? Is there no reward? Doesn't your spouse, your kids, your friends benefit when you stop freaking out about things? Yes. And is there no reward for the person who disciplines himself by the power of the Spirit to stop blasts of anger? Doesn't that benefit in the present life? Yes, it does. And is there no reward for a person's relationships if they can eliminate pornography from their life? Yes, because we know it benefits the life to come. But even in the present, the benefit is huge when you discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, when you work out by faith. We can toil, we can agonize in training for godliness when we set our hope on the living God. That's what we're doing every day. When you turn from your fear, anger, and lust to believe the promises found in God's word, it's agony, it's painful conditioning. But you do that because you have set your hope on God, the promise that God is better than revenge, more satisfying than sex, more fortifying than our attempts at security, and we make progress by faith. So when you are working out in a gym, you have to travel to a gym. Guess what? In the spiritual life, the gym comes to you every day, specially designed for you. And if you miss a workout, guess what? It's coming tomorrow too. You know, some of you, if you want to be characterized by faith instead of fear, you got to stop freaking out. And some of you give yourself way too much cushion. No pain, no gain. If it feels like work, if it's strenuous, some of you just flop on the couch, spiritually speaking. You're out. You're not going to try any bit more. If you want to gain stronger faith, because we're talking about faith, you got to get into God's gym. You got to start training. You got to start lifting some weight instead of whining. And you got to start running more than just to the mailbox and back, spiritually speaking. And stop saying, One day I'll do that. It's now. Just in closing, the only way that you will make progress in godliness is by faith in Jesus Christ. Because no one is going to discipline themselves away from sin. Not alone. You won't do it. No one can. That's why there's a Savior, Jesus Christ, sent to the earth, because no one can. Not even Gandhi, okay? Or any of the spiritual gurus in life. They cannot do that. It's got to be by help of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The exercise of faith is painful. It's painful to let go of things that have brought you comfort and joy for all these years. But when Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He's talking about transferring trust from your old ways to Christ and what he's done. And that's painful. But the rewards follow you into eternity. Not only now, but into eternity. And that's my prayer for you. My prayer for the church, for all of us, is that we can encourage each other. You know, when you get into a gym, there's a lot of people who get in a gym in January and then leave. And all the regulars are complaining, oh, look at these people, they're going to be gone in a month or two. It happens. You know the best way to stay in? Take a group class. Be around friends. And that's what you have here. That's why the body of Christ is so important for you. And the closer you get into relationships here, the better it will help you make progress, which is why we push life groups, which is why we push serving in the church. That's not just because we need free labor. It's because you need to grow. That's how you grow. That's how you start to work out. Because you have to push away from, well, but I really want to stay home and I really don't want to get here early. And all of that is dying to self, living to Christ, and it benefits everybody. And we're all blessed because of the people who have done that. But you will grow. You will gain in godliness as you apply yourself that way. Let's pray.